At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
It's the number one song in the country. It has been so for the last 6 weeks. That's Alex Warren, Ordinary. The Q Morning Show. Bill and Alyssa. My wife, Paula, is a little annoyed at me.
Oh, why is that?
Well, yesterday we had to run around a little bit.
Okay.
We went from store to store to store, and we couldn't find something, and she's blaming me for that. So the history on this is, on our back patio, it's almost impossible to go outside on our back patio until the sun goes down, because the sun is just blazing down in that back patio. And for the past couple of years, I've always said, you know, we don't need an umbrella or anything back there. When we go out into the backyard, it's usually at night.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hang out with friends. It's fine. We don't need an umbrella. We don't
right.
need
like, you're not going to be out there usually in the middle of the day with the sun beating down.
And so this summer, it feels like every time that we've wanted to go on the back patio, it's been when the sun is out and just frying us on the patio. And so Paula's like, can we please finally go get an umbrella? And I'm like, okay, fine, let's go find one. So we went out to a store yesterday. We had no problem finding an umbrella.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like I've seen them in plenty of places.
What we can't find is an umbrella base to stick the umbrella in so the umbrella doesn't
jiggle around. Like, you have to find a way to yeah. secure it.
Yeah, because otherwise, I don't know, what you can do is ask one of the kids to just hold the umbrella the entire time.
I don't think they'd like that very much.
I don't think that's practical.
Mm-mm.
So we went to three stores. All of them, all three, sold out of umbrella bases.
Wow, like no options at all.
And they're not ordering any new ones.
Why?
Two of the stores told me the exact same reason. Because all the Halloween stuff is coming in.
Oh, yeah.
They both had the same excuse.
Yeah, it is that time of year.
It is?
It is.
It's the end of July.
Yeah, I know. What, do you remember me talking about Summerween a couple weeks ago? It's Summerween, Bill. I actually did start watching scary movies yesterday. I watched the first Halloween.
Okay. I've never seen that. With Jamie Lee Curtis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So,
tis the season, I suppose.
Apparently, I'm the weird one.
I thought that I was, like, way ahead of the game. But, hey, if the stores are starting to get stuff in, where was I at? I think it was Gabriel Brothers, like, 2 weeks ago. And I saw, like, a whole aisle of stuff. And I was like, yes! I love Halloween.
Yeah, I'm the strange one, apparently. It's July 16th today, and I just wanted an umbrella. I figured that we still had nice weather for the rest of July and August and maybe a little bit of September.
Nah, you're behind. We've moved on from that, Bill. We've got our sights set on something else.
Look, I get it. I know these stores look at their sales, and they're like, okay, umbrella bases. Well, I see we sold 55 of them in April, but none of them in July last year, so let's not order any more umbrella bases in July. Let's just bring in the Halloween stuff. I get it. It's just annoying. So now I've got to do a citywide search.
You're going to be making your rounds all over the place just trying to find a freaking umbrella base.
I know. It's annoying.
If anybody sees one in a store, maybe maybe text us and let Bill know so he can dwindle down his search.
Let me know. I'll go anywhere. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. You've got the Q Morning Show. It's Q104. It's Q104. Good morning, Bill and Alyssa with you, the Q Morning Show. So what are you saying, Alyssa? People want to work they don't want to work for a nice boss. Who do they want to work for?
So this new study, it's coming out of Columbia. And I want to preface and say that most people do say that they prefer a kind, caring, collaborative boss.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
So let's lead with that. If you are a boss of employees, don't be a jerk, please. But this study does find that some people do actually prefer to work under a boss who is a bit more aggressive. And they see it as something that actually pushes them to do better work. I'm reading this, all the findings of this study, and it says that basically people who look at the world like a tournament and see moving up in the world as like climbing a ladder, those are the people who tend to think that their bosses who are meaner, I guess, are the ones that tend to be more effective. Isn't that interesting?
Because why again? Because they feel like the mean boss motivates them to work harder?
Pretty much. Motivates them to work harder. The study also finds that people who, you know, can work under these kind of leaderships, they tend to stick around if they feel that that cutthroat mentality is normal, and it kind of pushes them to get their head in the game and, I guess, stay on top of it.
Let me think about that for a second. So I have had so many bosses in my career because this is radio and there's so much turnover. I have had, it feels like, you know, over 100 bosses in my lifetime. I can think of two that I would put in the mean category. Like one of them I worked for here in Cleveland, and he might have been one of the reasons why I left Cleveland.
All have those.
Yeah, so
I definitely had a couple. I've had a couple. I was just like thinking for a second and taking a bad trip down memory lane.
But there was another guy that I worked for that I think that I would put him in the mean category, except that we kind of got along. Like everybody else like thought he was mean, and he was mean.
But you were kind of like the favorite, so it made you feel special.
I don't know about that, but it was just that he was mean, but you always knew where you stood with him.
Very transparent.
Right.
Like, so it wasn't a question of if he was mad at you.
Like one time, like I remember this one meeting, he just came in and he was just yelling at us. And he's like, your show should be about beer, popcorn, and hooking up. And I'm changing
some
words
around. Sounds like a fun
show. Yeah. And we're like, what? What is he saying? Like, we didn't even understand what he's saying. He's like, beer, popcorn, hooking up.
Why and then popcorn?
That's to this day, I have no idea what he was talking about. And then he just walked out of the room.
So weird.
But I think that sometimes with a mean boss, if you have a mean boss, I don't know if that motivates you. It might not motivate you to do your best work. It might just motivate you to avoid getting yelled at that day.
To avoid the confrontation.
Right.
Maybe. I could see that. This study, the researchers behind it say it was inspired by, I don't know if you remember this moment that went viral back in 2022. It was an Olive Garden manager in Kansas sent out a memo. Basically, too many people were taking sick days, and she had sent out a memo saying, like, if you call off, look for another job. And if your dog died, like, you're going to need to bring him in and prove it to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that's what this study was inspired by. And yeah,
I don't know how that motivates anyone else to work harder, though.
Nice bosses do prevail. But if you're a mean boss, there is a fan base for you, I guess.
Now, here at Q104, I would say our boss, Chase, I mean, again, mentioning that I've had so many bosses in this industry, I think Chase is like one of the best bosses that we've ever had.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would never say that to his face, but I think he's great.
Oh, he's great. And I'm not saying that just because I know he is driving on his way into work right now.
The worst boss that I think that you can have, I don't think it's necessarily a mean boss. I think it's a boss that is nice to your face and says nice things to you when you're in his office.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not around,
that's when it gets sticky.
Right. It's kind of like, do their actions match up with their words?
Yeah.
You know, and what are they saying about you to their superiors?
Yeah, definitely don't be that kind of boss.
I think that's the worst boss you could possibly have. Am I the Bleephole is coming up this morning. Misty from Old Brooklyn is going to join us. She is considering moving in with her boyfriend. However, she doesn't want to pay any rent. She doesn't want to help him pay his mortgage. Does that make her a bleep hole? We will get into this coming up. The Q Morning Show. It's Q104, Bill and Alyssa, the Q Morning Show. This morning, am I the bleep hole? So you do something, or maybe you don't want to do something, or you say something, or you don't want to say something. That's what Am I the Bleep Hole is about sometimes. Specifically, let's find out what's going on with Misty in Old Brooklyn. Misty, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us what's going on with you.
So I'm calling in today because I want to see if you guys think if I'm, you know, the bleep hole for not wanting to help pay my boyfriend's mortgage.
Has he asked you to pay his mortgage? Well, you tell us what's going on.
So here's the thing is I don't know if it's like, I don't know. We've been together for like 3 years or so. And when we first started dating, I had my own roommate, had my own situation going on. And eventually we just kind of weren't a good fit. So my roommate and I, so I moved back in with my parents. But my boyfriend, he owns his own home. And so I don't know if he is kind of taking this, like he's basically saying that he wants to take the next step and he wants me to move in with him.
Mm.
And I told him, I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm not really comfortable with like, you know, the mortgage payment and like the rates that you have. And he's, I don't know. He's just kind of been getting all like up in arms. And I'm like, well, why not? Like, it's not my house. It's his house, you know? And like, if we ever get to that point where we, you know, get a house for the two of us, and like, of course I would like split the mortgage and help, you know, with the down payment or whatever. But like, oh, I didn't even tell you guys this. This is a house that he bought before he got divorced.
Mm, okay.
So, oh, okay. Yeah, that's another layer here.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't really want to help pay for the mortgage on the house that, like, he used to own with his ex-wife.
Ooh.
I don't know the situation, if there was a quitclaim or like what's going on, if she's still on it and he's just paying. I do not know. I don't know. I don't want to ask. I do not want to be involved. I just kind of want to like clean slate. You know what I mean?
Okay, let's start here. Right now you live with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Your boyfriend wants you to move in with him. Do you want to move in with him?
I mean, yeah, I do. Like, I really feel like we're at that point, and it's not necessarily just because I'm living with my parents. Like, I'm really not, you know, being put out or anything.
I mean, you said it's been like 3 years that you guys have been together, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a while. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
So you've told your boyfriend that you'll move in with him as long as you don't have to help pay the mortgage.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking that, like, you know, obviously, like, I'll help with, like, utilities and stuff because, like, I'm using that. But I don't know. It's just like, it's just weird for me. It's weird to be in that house and, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I even made him take the mattress that he shared with his ex-wife, like, to the guest room.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, I get it, though. It's something about helping pay for a space that was never intended for you to be there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I'm assuming that your boyfriend is mad at you because he wants to live with you. He wants you to move in, and you said you will, but you're just not going to help out with the mortgage.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I've just basically been saying to him, like, if he wants this to happen, like, I will pay for everything, you know, like the utilities and whatnot. But the mortgage is just a hard no. Like, I don't really want to do that right now. I'm living rent-free with my family, and it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't really seem like a smart financial decision for me, especially like to be paying towards something that I don't really want.
That's the thing that I was going to say. The fact that you didn't have any part in helping pick this house, that is the exact reason why I get it, why you wouldn't want to help pay the mortgage. And I actually don't think you're a bleep hole for that.
Okay, but then don't move into the house if she doesn't want to contribute to the mortgage.
I didn't say that.
What do you mean? What do you mean you didn't say that?
I mean, he's already paying the full mortgage on his own, and it's a house that he wanted, granted, with his ex-wife, but Misty has no part of this. Misty is just there with him.
No, she can't be there with him if she moves in. She has to stay at her parents' house. She can't move it. If she moves in, she has to contribute to the mortgage, along with everything else.
She would be contributing to, like, groceries, I'm assuming, like,
right?
Utilities, she already mm-hmm. said, stuff around the house. I mean, that adds up, too. It's just that the house itself, that's not something that she ever, like, actually signed on for. She didn't sign up for that.
If she moves into the house, she's signing up for it. She's becoming the roommate, and she's going to live full time with her boyfriend. So she has to contribute to the mortgage.
Agree to disagree.
216-474-0104. Misty has been invited to move in with her boyfriend, and she'll do it as long as she doesn't contribute to the mortgage because she doesn't like the house and she's not happy with the mortgage payment. 216-474-0104. Does that make her a bleep hole? We will discuss next the Q Morning Show. Q104, it's Bill and Alyssa this morning. Am I the bleep hole? We heard from Misty in Old Brooklyn, who is considering moving in with her boyfriend. Misty lives with her parents right now. Her boyfriend has a home that he pays a mortgage on. And Misty said, okay, I'll move in with you. We will take our relationship to the next level. However, I'm not going to pay any rent. I'm not going to contribute to your mortgage. I'll move in.
She said that she would help with like utilities, groceries, the extra stuff, but she does not want to help with the mortgage itself.
And does that make her a bleep hole? Jonathan in Barberton, good morning.
Well, I feel like this. If they were going to move in and he was renting an apartment or renting a home, would she have helped with the rent? And if she was willing to help with the rent then, you know, she should be willing to help with the mortgage because it would be the same thing.
Yeah, why is it different that it's a mortgage? Why is it different that he owns the house, the boyfriend, and he owns the house and he has a mortgage versus the two of them renting an apartment? Like
the reason that it's different to me is because an apartment is temporary. So if she moved into an apartment with him, sure, help with the rent. And then when the lease is up, they could find their own place, a place that maybe she helped pick out. This house that he owns, she had no part in helping him pick, had no part in choosing. That's why it's different to me.
I am just not understanding that line of thinking. Janae in Mayfield Heights, good morning. Bleep hole or no bleep hole? Janae, I'm sorry. Janae, can you start over?
Sorry. I say bleep hole if she chooses to move in and still holds on to it. I'm not paying any part of the mortgage.
You think she should contribute to the mortgage if she moves in?
If she wants to move, yeah. If she is set to move with him and accept that offer, then yes. The utilities are not going to equate to half the mortgage. I'm pretty sure, at least. So no,
I hope not.
Pay half the mortgage.
Yeah, it's something that Misty said. She said, I'll pay for groceries because I'll be using that. And it's like, well, you'll be using the place that you're living. That's the roof over your head.
I did notice that she said that. And I was like, yeah, like you're going to be using the whole house. But like, I do get the sentiment that she was trying to say.
Okay. Maybe Kayla and Amherst can help me understand because I believe Kayla is on your side, Alyssa.
Yes.
Kayla, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you been in a similar situation?
So me and my fiance now, but his boyfriend at the time, we were both paying rent somewhere, and mine was significantly less than his. He asked me to move into the house with him, where him and his ex-wife used to live, and everything was decorated by her, and it was, you know, different situation, but I actually did not contribute rent to that. He took care of all the rent, and he just requested that, you know, I help with utilities and groceries, So that's what we did. And then 2 years later, we actually purchased our first home together to where, yes, I do contribute half of everything. Like, we split all the utilities, all the mortgage. But just at that time, like, that wasn't a commitment we made together to buy a house. So he took care of it, and I took care of everything else.
But when you were living in the house that he shared with his ex-wife, you didn't feel obligated to contribute to the cost of living in that house?
Not necessarily.
I mean, if you're helping with other things.
I was contributing. Yeah, like groceries, I mean, even now, they add up quite a bit. So I can understand going from having no payment to, you know, spending extra money to help in other ways is still contributing. It just might not be the main portion.
I think that that's actually a great example because Kayla's saying that, like, her rent was less than, like, what he was paying for his stuff. So it's like, it made sense for her to like, to kind of set that precedent of being like, hey, like you're paying more than me. Like I didn't help you pick this. This wouldn't have been my choice if I had any involvement. So like, you can take care of that. I'm going to take care of something else.
Well, if the boyfriend's going to go along with it, I guess, you know, what are you going to do? If the boyfriend accepts that situation,
I mean, that's
then
really the question. If he's cool with it, that's all that matters.
Q104. Dustin in Strongsville is next in the hot seat to take on Alyssa, Alyssa's College of Knowledge. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. I have your five questions right here. After you answer them, and after Alyssa answers them, if you get more correct than her, you win. If she gets more right than you, she wins. And if it is a tie, Alyssa still wins because all ties go to Alyssa. Question number one, Dustin. In what sport would you have the slam dunk?
Basketball.
Question two. How many dwarves were there in Snow White?
Seven.
Question three. What is the main ingredient that gives gummy worms their chewy texture?
Sucrose.
Did you say sucrose?
Yeah.
Question four. If you're a bird, then I'm a bird. Is a movie line from what movie?
I don't know.
Final question. The Emmy nominations were released yesterday. What TV drama received the most nominations with 27?
I don't know that one either.
All right, Dustin. Let's get Alyssa back in here. I'm throwing this thing at the door so she knows to come back in. How's your summer going so far, Dustin?
Not too bad.
Thank you for listening to us. Alyssa is back in the studio. Her headphones are going on. Dustin in Strongsville.
Good morning, Dustin.
Morning.
He was off to a good start. He got the first two, but then not the final three. So let's see how you do in comparison.
Okay.
Alyssa, you need two to tie and three to win. Question one. In what sport would you have the slam dunk?
Basketball.
Question two. How many dwarves were there in Snow White?
Seven.
All right, so you have the tie.
Whew.
Let's see if Alyssa can get the outright win. What is the main ingredient that gives gummy worms their chewy texture?
Gelatin.
Gelatin is correct.
Yes!
How about that? If you're a bird, then I'm a bird is a movie line from what movie?
Oh, I don't know. Forrest Gump? No.
It sounds like it could be from Forrest Gump.
It does. It really does.
It's from The Notebook.
Mm.
Final question. The Emmy nominations were released yesterday. What TV drama received the most nominations with 27?
Severance.
Severance
dominated.
Is correct. Alyssa dominates today. She goes 4 for 5.
Whew.
Sorry, Dustin.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you again for having us on, and hang on the line. We're going to put you on hold. We will give you those big-time rush tickets.
Oh, thank you.
Benson Boone, you've got Bill and Alyssa, the Q Morning Show. It's Q104. Good morning. So tell us about the Gen Z stare, Alyssa.
Well, if you want a good visual, I just posted a video on our Instagram story at the Q Morning Show.
I'm going to go there right now.
The Gen Z stare. You have definitely experienced it. You just might not have had a name for it until now. So it's when Gen Zers do this thing. It's always in public where usually when they're interacting with somebody maybe behind the counter of a coffee shop, at a store, something like that, they just stare. During any sort of social interaction, especially, sometimes it can be with people that they know, but it happens especially with just normal public interactions like this with strangers, where they just stare at you when you talk to them or try to make any sort of small talk.
Kind of like a deer in headlights?
Yes, exactly like a deer in headlights.
Now, why would this, what is this phenomenon? Explain then the Gen Z stare. Or are you saying that nobody has an explanation for it?
I have theories. I definitely have theories about it. I think that, you know, so much social media has kind of infiltrated people, and Gen Z specifically, they've had social media their entire lives, maybe making it a little more difficult to have real life interactions that aren't on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a theory. I'm not totally sure, but I would love it if there's any Gen Z out there listening that maybe can elaborate and explain this a little bit more. It's a phenomenon that the internet is talking about, mostly millennials, because we notice it.
I'm sure Gen Z wouldn't be able to explain it because they don't know what's going on. It's happening to them.
I don't think that anybody's going to call us to no Gen Zers are going to call us to explain what this is. Not because they can't, but because they won't pick up a phone. Come on.
But I'm sure that many people who own a Gen Z, like me, I own one Gen Z.
You've collected one.
I mean, there are times when, he just has a blank look on his face. But it's usually when I'm talking about something uncomfortable with him. You know, talking about, I don't know, school or sports or something. And it's maybe a conversation that he doesn't want to have.
And it's just awkward because they just look at you and like it's just silent. And you're like, hello? Do you hear me?
Yeah. I didn't know that this was only being attributed, though, to Gen Z. Because I feel like this is a tale as old as time.
I mean, I think it definitely is a tale as old as time. It's just that it's becoming more noticeable with the younger adult generation. And like I said, especially in like public settings where you're just trying to make like easy small talk, like, how are you? What can I get for you today? And it's just like stare.
Maybe we'll call a Gen Z. Maybe we'll call my son Will.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
I have lots of questions for him anyway. Well, first of all, I saw something this morning about how when Gen Z answers the phone, they don't say hello. I got to find that.
What do they say?
I'm going to tell you about that coming up because I have to find that story again. And then I want to talk to Will anyway because I know he hasn't been doing his summer reading. He's literally been assigned one book to read this summer.
It's Tuesdays with Maury, right?
Tuesdays with Maury. It's a very short book. He still has not finished it. So
yeah, maybe, I want to get a check in on that.
Maybe we'll get that update. All coming up this morning, the Q Morning Show. Tate McRae, it's Q104, the Q Morning Show. Kelly in Eastlake, good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I just wanted to weigh in on the Gen Z stare as a Gen Zer.
Oh, yes, please do.
My interpretation of it is that it's a very intentional way that people are saying that they don't want to talk to you without words. That it's a very rude intentional thing.
That was going to be my question. Is it in a like rude, disrespectful way, or is it them genuinely just being like, I don't have anything to say? Like, I honestly can't get a read on the vibe of the Gen Z stare.
I think it's very intentional to be rude and it's nonverbal communication of I don't want to talk to you.
So Kelly, what category do you fall into? Are you Gen Z? Are you a millennial? What are you?
I'm Gen Z, but I'm an old Gen Z. I was born in 99.
Okay. And so this is something that like you have, do you experience this too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, since you're Gen Z.
It makes me feel better at least that it's not just the older generations getting hit with the Gen Z stare. Even Gen Z is experiencing it.
Oh, okay. So you're not actually executing the Gen Z stare. You're receiving it and you're noticing it.
Correct. I don't do it. I think it's very rude.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. I also found that article that I was looking for.
Oh, yeah, about Gen Z and how they want to answer the phone and they don't say hello.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's next. Alyssa's College of Knowledge on the way, too. It's the Q Morning Show. It's Q104, the Q Morning Show, Bill and Alyssa. I found this article and I find it fascinating because I had no idea.
What is it?
Here's the headline. Gen Z doesn't want to say hello when answering the phone.
What do they say? I believe it. Gen Z, man, they dare to be different. They really do.
Gen Z, according to this article, expects you, the person calling, to speak first.
That's not how that works.
I don't know anything about this. I don't call my son that often, so I don't know. But I want to call him right now and find out what he's going to do.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, it says in this article, many young people agree that it should be the caller's responsibility to start speaking.
That makes no sense. That literally, it's never worked like that, you guys.
We're supposed to start speaking first and offer a greeting, not the person answering the call. And this article goes on and explains that they've grown up without landlines. So they were really never taught how phones worked. And then they get cell phones and they get all they get is scam calls all the time.
That is so true.
Because they don't talk to each other on the phone. They'll either text or FaceTime or Snapchat or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I have noticed that Gen Z really has kind of replaced like texting, phone calls, all of it with Snapchat.
So let's put this to the test. I want to call my 14-year-old son, Will, my Gen Z son. I actually want to see what happens when we call him. Does he not know how to actually use a phone the proper way? Let's find out. Will he say hello?
Hmm?
What was that?
What? What?
What are you supposed to do when the phone rings?
Pick up.
And say what?
Yeah, and then what?
Wait, what?
Aren't you supposed to say hello?
Yeah.
Then why didn't you do it?
Do what?
The kids are learning algebra and y equals mx plus b, but they don't know to say hello when the phone rings.
You say hello. Why can't you say hello?
I don't know.
Where did you learn this? You haven't learned anything.
Learn what?
Maybe this is a high school level class.
While I have you on the phone, I have another question for you.
Yes.
And
this is actually something completely different.
Was he giving me the Gen Z stare right there?
I think so, like literally in a verbal form, yes. He was giving you the Gen Z stare.
Instead of responding, he's just staring at me.
Yes.
William, have you finished the book Tuesdays with Maury?
No.
How far are you? And I'm not going to judge because me and Spark Notes were very well acquainted in high school.
I'm like at page 100 and I have like 90 pages left.
Yeah, that's it. There's only 192 pages in the book. You should have been done with this book in 2 or 3 days.
Okay, hey, now, he's making good progress.
I'm not supposed to rush it.
He's taking his time.
What do you mean you're not supposed to rush it? Says who?
My ELA teacher from last year, she said we should take our time to do the assignment because we're going to forget before the school year starts.
So you're reading a paragraph a day?
No. I was going to read 10 pages a day so that it would only take me 19 days, but mom made me read like 50 pages in a day.
It messed up his whole schedule. He had it all figured out.
Oh my God.
And you've still got like a month before school even starts. Bill, I don't even know why you're freaking out.
I wanted you to read that book and read other books. Not take 3 months to read a 192 page book. All right, we have to go.
You're getting the Gen Z stare again.
Thank you, William.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day. See you soon.
Yep.
Love you. Bye. Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now the Q Morning Show. Kelly in Bainbridge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about your daughter.
Oh, she's 14 and a peach.
14, and what high school does she go to?
Well, she'll be going to Kinston.
So is your daughter doing a summer reading program, or is she supposed to be?
She's supposed to be, but like your son, you know, it's just not happening.
How many books has she been assigned to read?
Three
okay.
books.
See, that sounds more realistic. Three books over the summer. I still can't believe that your son was only assigned one, Bill.
And that book is doable in like 3 hours.
What books has she been assigned?
You know, I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I know she hasn't even touched them.
Now, is she doing the same thing? Because my son came to me the other day, and he's like, I want to go over to so-and-so's house. We're going to read the book that we were assigned.
Such BS.
The book that he was assigned was Tuesdays with Maury.
And that's what I mean. Like, that book could be read in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And she did try that with me, and I said no.
Oh, she wanted to get together with her friends to do some summer reading?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they want to read the book? At the pool?
Yes.
Everybody.
Wait, really?
Everybody just sit in the lounge chairs and just read?
And you know what I did?
What?
I went to Walmart and I bought a little inflatable pool and I filled it. And I put a chair next to it. I said, here, now you can read by the pool.
Stop it. That is not what she meant.
No, what she meant was, let me put on my bikini and let me go have some fun. But like your son, there is no chores being done, or very minimal, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the pool that she now has, the little inflatable kiddie pool, will inspire her summer reading so she can read by the pool.
Uh-huh, she hasn't touched the books yet.
Kelly, if you had to bet right now, by the time that your daughter goes back to school, will she have read all three of her books?
On her own or with me forcing it?
So if you force her, it's going to happen?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
Good luck with that, Kelly.
Yeah, good luck with yours, too.
Thank you. Alex Warren, Ordinary, Q104, Bill and Alyssa, the Q Morning Show. Oh, my gosh.
What?
I know it's summer, and I know that it's slow. I know that on some days it's difficult to find things to talk about in the news or wherever, or at least things we're permitted to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going through all these websites trying to find something, and I stumble across this, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this cannot be true.
What?
The headline: Stevie Wonder has to respond to rumors that he isn't blind.
You're joking.
Is this a TikTok thing? Like, people are questioning.
I haven't seen it on TikTok. Is this a real thing? Like, where are you seeing this?
He had to address it. He's on tour right now.
What?
He's in Europe. And last night, he stopped the show, or I don't know if he stopped the show, but at some point during the show, Stevie Wonder told the crowd, you know, there have been rumors about me seeing and all of that. And you know the truth. The truth is, shortly after my birth, I became blind. I thought that everyone knew this.
I can't believe he's clarifying this in 2025.
Stevie Wonder was born in 1950.
Oh, my God.
I thought this was accepted fact.
I mean, listen, I went to school for journalism. I'm all for, like, questioning things, digging deep, finding the truth. But, like, sometimes you just got to take information at face value.
My gosh. It has to be TikTok, right?
Like, someone. No, I'm telling you, I've not seen this.
I'm going to go after a Grammy-winning Rock and Roll Hall of Fame legend.
Could you imagine, though, if he wasn't?
Oh, stop it. Just stop it right now.
Okay, yeah.
Stop
it right now. I'm not even going to fuel it.
All right, coming up this morning, a chance to win tickets to see Nelly, who's at Blossom August 5th. We'll have a Q keyword coming up. And we're going to play Alyssa's College of Knowledge one more time this morning for Big Time Rush tickets. Hang on, that's coming up. I have Lynn in Willoughby Hills. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
We are almost ready to play Alyssa's College of Knowledge. Let me give you the rules first. If you answer more questions correctly than Alyssa, you will win. If she gets more right than you, she wins. If it is a tie, then Alyssa wins because all ties go to Alyssa. I have your five questions here. Lynn, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, it's known as the Peach State.
Georgia.
Question two, in the movie Up, what does Carl use to get his house off the ground?
Balloons.
Question three, in 1974, the Cleveland Indians hosted a disastrous promotion involving beer, which involved fans storming the field. How much was the beer that night?
10 cents.
Question four, the name of the artist who had a song called Gangnam Style in 2012.
I can picture it. I don't know.
All right, we'll move on to the final question, question number five. It's fine, you're doing very good. The Emmy nominations were released yesterday. What famous actor received his first Emmy nomination ever at the age of 83?
Oh, Steve Martin.
All right, Lynn, let's get Alyssa back in the studio here. The intercom is broke, so we'll wing that. So tell me about what you're doing today with your daughter.
I'm picking her up, and she's going to be going to Canton to be part of the flag football championships.
How about that?
With the Willoughby South team. Yeah.
How old is your daughter?
16.
How about that, Alyssa? Did you hear that?
No.
Lynn's daughter is going to be in the flag football championship in Canton today.
Oh, that's awesome. That's super cool.
And I heard I heard your daughter really want these big-time rush tickets as well.
She does.
All right. So, Alyssa, Lynn got 3 out of 5.
Okay.
You need 3 to tie, 4 to win. And if you win, you may disappoint a 16-year-old girl going to
Canton. Oh, come on. Don't put that on me.
Question number one. It's known as the Peach State.
Georgia.
Question two. In the movie Up, what does Carl use to get his house off the ground?
Balloons.
Question three. In 1974, the Cleveland Indians hosted a disastrous promotion involving beer, which involved fans storming the field. How much was the beer that night?
Oh, it's like 50 cents.
It's not like 50 cents. It's like 10 cents.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I can't even imagine. What a mess.
Two questions left. You still need one to tie. The name of the artist who had a song called Gangnam Style in 2012.
Psy? P-S-Y?
Yeah, Psy is correct. All right, final. And the Emmy nominations were released yesterday. What famous actor received his first Emmy nomination ever at the age of 83?
Ooh, Robert De Niro.
Good guesses by both of you, but it's Harrison Ford.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Who received the Emmy nomination for his work in Shrinking. Which
that's so crazy that he's never been nominated for one?
He's a movie guy.
Oh, he's a movie guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And this is a TV category.
Yeah.
All right. Lynn, best of luck to your daughter.
Yes. Good luck down there today.
In the flag football championships.
We're rooting for
you. Thank you.
I don't know if you want to tell her before the game or after the game.
Don't tell her.
We're giving you those tickets to Big Time Rush.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. She's going to be so excited.